We're talking to Brad Hayes, who is associate professor of political science at Union College and a brilliant mind, in my opinion. Let me start by asking you a whole bunch of political questions. Number one, can Bernie Sanders get nominated for president?
Can he? Yes. There is still a pathway for him to victory. Is that likely? No.
He'd have to win in New York, for example.
He'd
have to win in California, for example. So those are two big states. And right now, those polls aren't going for him.
They're not. And I think, you know, one of the things that he would also need to do is kind of, you know, go into the convention where the vote is close enough that, you know, the superdelegates are going to be decisive, and then convince those superdelegates to go with him rather than Clinton. And in some ways, the function, the purpose of those superdelegates is to create, you know, greater or easier pathways for establishment candidates. And I think in that sense, it would be very difficult for Sanders to do that.
We're getting more mail about the superdelegates from the Bernie supporters than anything else that I've ever seen on this stuff. And they think it's all an evil plot, superdelegates. I happen to like it because I think that in the McGovern campaign, when right. you know, people like, I believe, Senator Kennedy and others couldn't get into the convention. So that these are all elected officials. What do you make of this whole debate over the superdelegates?
Yeah, I mean, it's an open question, I think. You know, I don't have a particularly strong opinion here. I think they were created for a reason, right? And part of that reason was to ensure that the establishment would have a strong vote and strong voice in the process of selection. And that is, in fact, what it's doing. It usually isn't much of an issue, right? In 2008, for example, most of the superdelegates were aligned with Hillary Clinton early on. But as Obama became increasingly popular and increasingly the consensus choice of the party, most of those superdelegates moved. And so, in other words, it really hasn't been much of a problem. And I think if Sanders was, you know, the consensus choice among Democrats, then this might be less of an issue. You might see greater movement among the superdelegates. But the fact that Hillary Clinton has had, you know, more success, at least to this point, you see the superdelegates sticking with her. So while I, you know, you may understand some frustration, the superdelegates have been a fact of life in the Democratic Party for a long time now. And so this is no surprise. And, you know, the Bernie Sanders camp, they know this, and they had to know that they were going to have to struggle to get superdelegates.
Let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump and Cruz and Kasich. Kasich makes the point, I can win, the other guys can't. They're too far out. The American, you know, middle stream. We have Cruz, who is so far to the right that I think, you know, Kasich makes a point. How's he going to get the American middle class and the people in the middle to vote for him? And Trump, who I think has a real shot at winning because he can grab some of the middle class Democratic voters who have been showing a penchant for crossing over and voting for him. So my question to you is, what do you make of all this?
Well, it's a good question. I've been, and let me be very frank with everyone that's listening, I've been dead wrong about Trump time and time again.
Join the club.
Yeah, right. It's a big club. But you know, look, I'd be surprised at this point if he does not get the nomination. I think after the win in Arizona, you know, our attention turns to Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, the primary, which is held, I believe, on April 5th, is the last chance to stop Trump from getting a majority of delegates, at least to my mind, right? So if, in fact, he wins Wisconsin, I think he will get a majority. Now, not until June 7th, which is the last primary day, but he, I think, at that point will likely get a majority of delegates. Now,
but Brad, let me stop you right there and ask you, because Trump hinted at it the other day. What if somebody stands up, the convention president, stands up and says, by acclamation, let's change the rule for nomination, you know, from 1,200-something to two-thirds, and really plays it dirty and therefore opens up a convention and Trump is out?
Sure, we can run through a million different scenarios. I mean, well, is it possible?
That's right? One that I find very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
they
all
really
this stuff
hate
is
him.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think the question is about what kind of long-term damage do you want to do to the party?
You think that's being done already? Don't you think, though, that the Republican Party is on the verge of falling off the cliff?
I have struggled with that question. I don't, actually. I mean, I think that they are in deep trouble. But, you know, people have talked about, is this a moment of party collapse? And I do not think that. I mean, parties are so adaptable. It's one of our institutions that is extremely adaptable. We often talk, or I do, about kind of the institutions that we have today as not being very responsive to contemporary conditions. Parties are one of the institutions that move and move very quickly. You know, in 2008, many people were saying that the Republican Party, you know, it was lost and that they were going to be, you know, wandering in the wilderness for years to come. You know, and 2 years later, you know, they have an overwhelming majority in the congressional election. I'm not predicting an overwhelming Republican victory in elections to come, but I do think that there is more strength in the Republican Party than what we might associate by simply looking at the current candidates. And this might be a function that, I mean, one of the things that we know is that the terrain in presidential elections favors Democrats, right? And that has all kinds of different effects, including potentially creating a short bench for the Republican Party. I mean, one of the things that was kind of interesting going into this election is that many people were saying that the Republicans had a deep bench, right? Lots of talent, and that, you know, they were going to put up probably their best candidate in decades. And I did not see it that way. I know we talked about that I actually thought that it was a rather weak pool. And some of that, I think, is showing up here. I mean, when we're talking about kind of who's left, you know, you're talking about Trump, which is, you know, just the wild card, as everybody knows. Cruz, who is extremely conservative and kind of despised among the establishment,
and
at least up
win.
Until now. And then Kasich, right, who, you know, you said, like, does he have a shot? Well, I mean, he's won one state. That's his state, yeah. Ohio. I mean,
yeah.
This is a really, in some ways, short bench. It's a shallow pool. And I think it speaks in some ways to the ways in which the Republican Party is disadvantaged in presidential elections by the kind of demographic coalitions that turn out in presidential elections that tend to vote Democratic.
And yet we only have a minute, but we keep hearing that there's a possibility of a third party candidacy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, obviously I hear the rumors as well. It could happen, I suppose, but it's not going to help the Republicans. It's not going to help the conservatives. I think is going to make for an easier pathway for the Democratic nominee to win the presidency. So most of these things seem as if they help the Democrat, and the Democrat already has that advantage of electoral landscape, as I mentioned before. So, I mean, in that sense, going back to your question about the Republican Party, I mean, I think the prospects do not look great in 2016. But beyond that, I'm less convinced that this is their death knell.
Well, it's always great to have Brad Hayes with us. I could go on and talk to him and ask him 1,000 more questions, but we're out of time. So Brad Hayes of Union College and scholar in residence right here, we thank you for being here. You always bring a lot of knowledge to us that, you know, I hadn't even thought about.
It's always
you.
Always a pleasure, Alan.